Afternoon made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. The beautiful music you're hearing in the background right now is from Gonzalo Barguera, who is with us right now in the studio. He's actually kind of recreating that music right now behind me. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to just make sure that your mic is on over here. Hold on one second. Let me get that going. There we go. I got you up there. Gonzalo, thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
Well, thank you for having us. I'm going to
tune out the recorded music, and now we hear the actual guitar in the background there. That's awesome.
You can hear me tuning.
Welcome to Juneau. Have you been to Juneau before?
No, never have.
And so thanks for coming. It's really wonderful to have fantastically talented musicians come to town.
Well,
we love
it. Well,
you
haven't heard us yet.
Well, I've been listening to you here on Spotify. It's close enough. And you're here with your trio. Can you introduce the folks
yes,
in your trio
so
here?
So we have we're two guitars and an upright bass, and on the other guitar we have Max O'Rourke.
Hey Max, how you doing? Thanks for coming.
I'm all right. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And on the bass we have Greg Luffman.
Greg, how are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Have you guys been to Alaska or Juneau before?
Been to Alaska a few times okay. now. Been to the Juneau. Been to Juneau only in the airport once before.
Layover.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Been a long one.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Was it a flyover kind of thing?
I think we were coming from a. It was a long day. Because we had played early in the morning in Skagway, and then came back to Juneau, and then had to like a long layover.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had to like go to Anchorage, then I think up to Homer that yeah. night or something like
right.
that.
So it was the life of a working musician, right? Staying, yeah. having to figure out layovers. Well, thanks for coming to town. We appreciate it. We were just listening to that track, and you were saying that was a track that you recorded that 12 years ago, you were saying.
Yeah, that's from a first CD that I did all on my own in 2006, and it took me 2 years to finish. So in 2008, it came out. But yeah, that song was recorded, yeah.
Tell me about
in my bathroom in 2006.
What do you think about when you hear it? I noticed you were talking about timing and things like
mainly
that a little bit.
Quitting music and getting a job somewhere else. The normal stuff, you know?
Yeah. But when you hear it today?
Well, you know, it's one of those that's a good question in the sense that what happens to all of us musicians like when it's a song that in my CDs became one of the popular songs.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So it's one of the songs that the people that like my music want to hear. So I have to play it at every concert.
And yeah. It's which only is been, a plus and a minus, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's I mean, only been of course. 12 years. I can't imagine people like, you know, the Rolling Stones or something, they have to play the same song for 60 years.
Right.
But we. You know, the privilege that we have is that by coming from somewhat of a jazz background, it's never the same, you know what I mean? So we're
yeah,
not.
You get to mix it up, yeah.
Yeah, you get to play how you feel at that particular time. So it's, in that sense, it's always fun.
Right. And it is an interesting thing. I guess it must happen with all artists, whether you're a visual artist or if it's recorded and if it's somehow in time. Then when you hear it, you're kind of going back in time. You're thinking about exactly. You're thinking about what you were going through. You're in your bathroom recording that. That sort
yeah.
of thing comes back to you.
Yeah, that was a difficult album for me. I did it all on my own. So I bought a computer, I bought microphones, I bought pre's, I bought everything that I needed. It took me 2 years. I never did that again.
Where was that apartment?
I was in North Hollywood.
Okay.
In California.
Tell me about your background. Where are you from originally? And
so I was born in Argentina. But I fell in love with American music when I was very young. So as soon as I finished high school, I moved to the States. I was mainly after blues music. And then little by little, I got more into jazz. And then I discovered gypsy jazz, which is what people call this music that we play. And I had to move to France for a while because that's where it came from. And then now I think I live in Argentina.
But you're kind of just on the road.
On the road, yeah. And I like being in the States as well. There's It's such a big country with so many places to play and to travel, and, you know, so now, it's always very entertaining.
That album you recorded on your own, did it kind of launch you, sort of? I mean, you're saying that it actually spawned this well-known song of yours?
Yeah, that album did open a lot of doors for probably more than all the other albums that came afterwards. So that means that I should...
Got to get back in the bathroom.
Got to get back in the bathroom, man. On my own. No, I really did. That album opened, was very important in my, you know, career.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, you know.
That's exciting that you, you know, you think about that. That's a dream that people would have. Wow, I can, I did this thing. I did it on my own. And then it really did spark ability to create a career out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to clarify that when we're talking about, you know, an album doing well, we're still talking about gypsy jazz and, like, you know, people have never heard even of the style. So imagine the album.
That's right. Yeah, but, I understand.
But in the genre, it was a very well received album.
And allows you to kind of build a working career out of it.
Yeah, you know, when you do something and it comes out well, you want to do it again.
Yeah, well, right. Well, you guys have your instruments here. It's fascinating to talk to you. And I know you're doing this concert that's happening at 4 o'clock tonight, in just within an hour. It's a free concert, rush hour concert, happening over at the APK lobby, otherwise known as the SLAM, or the State Library and Archive Museum building. And the trio is going to be playing there, so that's exciting. Maybe a little bit of a preview here. We'll get the mics adjusted down to your instruments, and this is a little bit of the Gonzalo Vergara trio. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Tell me, when you talk about gypsy jazz, so are there certain instruments that are associated with that? Is there a certain constructs of the kind of how you put together the rules kind of you're operating under that are different about gypsy jazz than there would be about other forms of jazz?
Would you, any of you guys like to answer that, or you just want to just sit there with your instruments?
I'd rather watch you.
Okay.
I guess instruments first. You're playing a guitar that has sort of a close...
Yeah. It's a very interesting question because when you talk about gypsy jazz, people don't know exactly what you're talking about. And the answer is a little bit tricky. But there's a couple of really basic facts that they're easy to understand and to share. You're seeing we're only playing with string instruments. There's no drums. We're playing old American standards, old jazz standards from the 30s and 40s, sort of rearranged to be performed with, not heavily rearranged, actually, just playing the basic form of the song. So we have another guitar you can hear in the back. He's playing the rhythm. That sort of keeps like the drum set going, I guess.
So you're and the bass, of course.
And the bass,
that's the rhythm
bass
section.
Yeah.
So okay.
And I noodle on top of all of that stuff, and hopefully, at least 5 seconds in a row sound good, you know. But another thing that happened is the first guy that ever played jazz this way was a gypsy guy. His name was Django Reinhardt. So it's the mix of those two things, you know, this music and the person that first played it, that were gypsies. And I guess the gypsies, you know, because of their nature, they're traveling, you know, you're not going to carry a tuba and a drum set, you know. And so you just take guitars and then bass, and you do this everywhere. We're not doing anything. We need this, a chair, and a pick.
Right.
Yeah, they told us we wouldn't fit in here to play.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the nature of that music. I think that's why people it's easier to just categorize it as gypsy jazz. But in reality, it's just jazz.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what I want. Like, do you think people are expecting something different when they come see you often?
I think that the good thing about this particular way of playing jazz is that a lot of people do not feel like they like jazz, because it's hard. Sometimes it's almost like it could be music for musicians.
It's challenging at some forms of it. For sure,
intellectually, yeah. Sometimes you don't actually get to enjoy it if you don't know what's going on. Sometimes it goes through the brain a lot, and it's nice when you know what's happening. And it's like an acquired taste, or you know, like when you know about something, you watch that something, you enjoy it more. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with music for musicians. I mean, there's music for teenage girls, music for kids. It's okay that there's music for musicians. But I think this music, this particular way of playing jazz is a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Accessible.
Accessible, thank you. Yeah, it's a lot more accessible. Like, you hear it, I don't know if you're a jazz fan or not, but you know, you feel energy. Mm-hmm. It sounds nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's the first impression that we get. Like, hey, I didn't know what gypsy jazz was. I don't like jazz, but you guys sound great.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, do you guys have one more song in you to play another one?
No,
or?
We only know one song. That's
okay.
So that's the other thing with gypsy
that's
jazz.
That's the limited
that's
thing.
Just one song.
Get in and out of towns real quick that way.
Yeah. We can do something.
That'd be great. Thank you.
We can do a little something slower, maybe. I'm trying to think of a song. I can't think of a song. What should we do?
This is inside the mind of a musician here.
Nah, let's do it. Well, nothing comes to mind. Let's just do Minor Swing. Unless you have another idea. This is a very famous Django Reinhardt song that's been used in a lot of movies and stuff. All right, one. Do we need to move this a little bit? Okay, one, two, one.
All right. Thank you very much.
So that was my alarm. Something's going on in my life, and I don't know what it is.
I was like, this is really getting jazzy in here. All right. We're really getting improvisational. That was awesome. Thank you. Well, that's Gonzalo Vergara at the Trio, and they're going to be playing tonight at 4 p.m., a free Rush Hour concert. And then 7:30 tonight, the jazz concert is happening at the Jack. And you can listen to much more of this fantastic music that's coming from Paris, by way of Argentina, by way of Los Angeles, by way of all over the world, and Juno. Thanks so much to all of you for coming in.
Thank
I really appreciate
having
it. Yeah. And have a great concert tonight. You can see them for free. 4 p.m. Rush Hour concerts happening over in the beautiful State Library and Archive Museum lobby, the APK lobby. And then tonight, 7:30, the jazz concert is happening at the Jack. It's the Gonzalo Vergara Trio. Thanks again to all of you for coming in. I appreciate it. And have a great concert.
Thank you.